Appreciate that. Yes. Appreciate all the songs this morning. I want to share with you in your bulletin, you have an insert there. If you don't have one, if you don't have an insert, it's a double-sided insert. Raise your hand, and Scott has some extras. So Scott and Dev are back, so we're glad to have them back. Each one of you, it's not just for the family. It's everyone gets one. I'm going to tell you what's going on. We are getting ready to go through a time of fasting, a short time. We did this back in January. I don't know if it was a 3 or 4 day fast, but this one's not as long. The one we did last summer was a 1 day. This would be a 1 day as well. So basically what it is on the front end, it says prayer and fasting. So the things that we prayed and fasted for in January, one was the completion and the opening of the men's life house, which is right next door. And you men need to get with me soon, or if you got some time, because we need some help on that. We lost like three or four mission teams, so the weight is now upon us. We also prayed and fasted for financial increase with our church and with New Life Ministries financial increase. God is doing great things with those. And then the other is the 21 baptisms for this year. So that's what we are prayed and fasted for back in January. When we do this again, we'll do this again. We're gonna pray this week, and then we're gonna fast from Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to Wednesday night, like 6 p.m. or like me, it'll be like after service. I know some of you'll just wait until after service because service starts at 6:34 on Wednesday. But what we have here is that's what you pray in your fasting for. You're praying for that. We're praying for that today. And we're going to pray for that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But also, under there it says, who are you praying for that needs to come to Christ? So you're going to put somebody, so you're praying and fasting also. There's a lot going on here. So you're going to pray and fast for somebody, if you have someone you want to pray and fast for, that they'll come to Christ. Also, after that is, what are you praying, who are you praying for that knows Christ but needs to return to Christ, needs to come home? And then the last part there is, what is something you're going to personally pray and fast for yourself? And so I think that will be a good piece, but also when you flip it over, there's a little bit of work to do this. This is a little bit of work on yourself this week. Sometimes you ask, why isn't God moving? And sometimes it's because you're not moving. I'm just being straight up and honest, because you're not moving. You're watching to make sure to see what the church is doing, but listen, you are the church, not me. We are the church. On this page here, you'll see this Bible on the front of it. Spend time in God's Word. So tomorrow, I want you to be able to read Psalms 56. Anytime you want. Just read Psalms 56, and under that it says, what did God teach or show you in that chapter? Okay? And Tuesday, you're going to do Psalms 34, which is where I'm preaching today, but you're going to redo this on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, sometime, you need to read Psalms 103. And then you kind of write down in each one of these, what did I learn from that? Believe me, I will tell you this. Those who do this will be blessed more than those who don't. I'm just telling you. One, because leadership asked you. So when we follow our leaders, it's a good thing. Number two, though, you'll be in the Word, and you're not just going to read the Word. You're going to write down some things. So you're actually talking to God when you're reading. Lord, what do you want to show me? So it's drawing closer to the Lord. And when you begin to draw closer to the Lord, what has a tendency to happen is God begins to move. And also you'll be ready when the dark side begins to move. Those things happen as well. We need to continue to grow in our walk with Him, and that's what we do. I was asked, I'm on the executive board for the state of Indiana for the Southern Baptist, and I was asked a couple of things. And basically, I just want to boast on the Lord and just share with the Lord, just share with people. Like, I always want to know, how are you doing that? How are you doing that? And I said, listen, I'm starting to learn more and more that it's coming from prayer and fasting. People don't like it, but it comes from prayer and fasting. It's not one of those things where you just are in the audience. It's one of those things where you participate. And you participate in what God is doing. I'm telling you, it is an amazing piece. I'm pushing that more and more. Pushing that more and more with other pastors. We need, as the church needs. We need to pray, but not just pray, we need to fast. Amen? I want to share with you today Psalms 34. So if you're going to be in Psalms 34, we're going to read through Psalms 34 today, and you're going to get to rehash that on Tuesday. So it'll be a good reminder when you do it on Tuesday. But I want to bring you up, this is a special chapter. This is a chapter where you'll see in here, it's a psalm when David pretended to be mad in front of this king from the Philistines, and the Philistine king drove him away. This is a pretty rough time right here. If you go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 21 and 22, it's a pretty rough time for David and King Saul. King Saul ended up doing something a person would never think about doing. He had all the priests there put to death. It's a pretty vile thing. This is how crazy and how mad King Saul was. But David acted like David was saying, Saul's going to catch me. He's going to get me. And so, and David had won so many battles. They sang songs that Saul killed his thousands, but David the tens of thousands. And Saul got super jealous over it. But David is anointed to be the future king, and Saul knows it. And so it comes to this point that Saul is trying to kill David, and David's on the run and goes to that town and has all those priests put to death. David just can't handle that. Can't handle to keep running. He goes into the enemy's camp. And then he's afraid that they're going to kill him because they begin to recognize him. Isn't this David, the warrior that killed not thousands, but tens of thousands? And the Bible says he begins to act like a crazy person. Starts drooling from his mouth. He puts his fingers on the doors and starts scratching it and acts like a madman. And the king turns around and says, looks at his people and says, "Do you think I'm short of mad people? Get this crazy mad person out of here." Nobody wanted to touch people back then. Nobody wanted to touch people that were seemed to be insane, so they booted him out. David was just in a place. It was hard. Didn't know what to do. I'm supposed to be at home with my people, but they don't want me. The king's hunting me. I've got enemies, and over here I have no place to go. It's just everything is going crazy. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I don't have a place to turn to. David writes this psalm. And this, how the Lord took him out, because as he was running from, as you can tell, he's just running from King Saul. Now he goes into the enemy camp, pretty much, "Oh my gosh, what did I just do? I shouldn't be here." You ever been in a place where you shouldn't be? But God delivers him out of it anyway. What a trophy David would have been for the Philistines. But God protected him and brought him out, even though he was acting like a crazy man. He said, "This." You can just read it through Scripture. This is not where he was supposed to be. And then we see he ends up going to the cave of Adullam. And God begins to bring people into him to follow. And sometimes before we get where God wants us to be and begins to do those things, we begin to have places where we begin to go through things we're not sure of. And Psalms 34 is this piece here that we see where David is going to say some things that are just only a person who's walked in hardship, but also only a person who knows who the Lord is can understand Psalms 34. Because you cannot praise God if you don't know God. You cannot praise Him if you've not been through anything. You cannot praise Him if you've not called on His name over and over and over. You cannot really praise God in the way that is real if you do not have an intimate relationship with God. He says here in verse 34, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." This is not a person who has the Lord here and there. This is a person who has the Lord every day. This is the person who's walking. He's walking with the Lord. But he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, in my good days, in my bad days, and even in my crazy days. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord. That's what we're called to do. Quit asking God to jump on your bandwagon. Start getting on his. And you'll have a lot more to praise him for. And he says, and so that praise shall be coming out of my mouth continually. It's going to come out. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about him. Because he is that important to me. That is that important to David. I'm going to talk about him and praise him daily. When's the last time that you thanked the Lord? I'm not talking about just for a good day, but even for the hardships, and thanking him for being there in your valleys, in your times of cave. Listen, this church has a lot of people in this church struggles with depression. A lot of you find places, a cave, and you hide there because you're depressed, you struggle. But it's in those places sometimes when we even get closer to God. Not that we desire to be in those moments of depression or in hard times, but it is in those moments those who know the Lord are connected, and there is a safety net. There is a place. And doing that, the difference is those who know the Lord and work through that, they will praise God as they're going in. They'll praise God while they're there, and they'll praise God while they're coming out. Most people will only praise God or even talk to God when they're in trouble. They'll ask God for something, but they don't know how to praise God. A lot of people ask something from God, but very few praise him. But he is worthy of praise. He says in verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. My soul, what is inside of me, shall make the boast. I'm going to brag in the Lord. That's who needs to be lifted up. I'm going to brag in the Lord of what God has done for me. That's what David is saying. David had testimonies that we will never have. David killed Goliath the giant in the audience. That was a huge audience. And he even got respect from both sides. Yet he gave God, he boasted in God. He boasted in God and not himself. And even the humble shall hear of it and be glad. You see, even the humble, those who are with humility and humbleness, they see it. They understand the praise of God. And what it is, when they hear someone doing it and praising God, they're happy about it. They're glad about it. Listen, when's the last time you said, hey, you know, even in your own mind, that you're glad and happy for what something else is going on that God's doing in someone else's life and they're praising God? Does what others do with God make you happy? I hope so. That you can be glad in that. But then he says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He says, I don't want to do it by myself. I want to do it with you too. That's what we did today. And we're going to magnify, we're going to exalt, we're going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. But if you can't lift him up here, I guarantee you, you're not going to lift him up out there. And if you can't say Jesus in here, you're not going to say Jesus out there. You're just not going to do that. But he calls us to magnify the Lord with me. Let's make a joyful noise. Let's get loud and make a good praise to God. And let us exalt his name together. We're going to lift up Christ's name together. Listen, if you put Jesus more in what you're doing, you'll see Jesus put more in what he is doing with you. We cause so much of our own struggles. And it's because we leave Jesus out. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and we don't praise God. And we need to praise God. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and we need to follow Christ. As he says in verse 4, I sought the Lord. Now, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, which means I put effort. I went forward. I went looking for him. I went after him. I studied. We could say today, I'm studying. I'm putting effort in going to church and worship. Even when those days when I don't feel like going, I'm going to seek out the Lord. I'm going to be looking to see where God is working in other people's lives. Listen, I love to rub shoulders where I know God is working in people's lives. I love to hear their testimonies. I love to hear what God is doing. It reminds me that we're not the only ones. That God is bigger than us. That God can do it all of it. He can juggle this whole world and every human being. Every fish, every bird, every animal, every star. And he can juggle it and not drop one. And still know how many hairs on top of your head. That's the awesomeness of God. And he says, I sought the Lord. Which means he talks to the Lord. He prays to the Lord. And he says, and he answered me. It's hard to get an answer if you're not talking to someone. So we need to talk to the Lord if we want an answer. We want him to hear us. We need to seek him out. We need to pray to him. We need to talk with him. Some of us, sometimes our attitudes are not great because we don't talk to the Lord. We may be doing church stuff, but we're not talking to the Lord. Let me tell you, the Lord knows how to calm an attitude. He knows how to calm a bad day. He knows how to turn a hard heart in the right direction. He knows how to cool the mouth when it gets hot with fiery words we shouldn't say. He knows how to do that. But if we're not seeking him, we're not talking to him, we're going to continue to do those things, but we're wondering why God's not being a part of what we're doing and how he's not helping us. It isn't that he doesn't want to help us, it's we're not asking for help. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We need to be boastful and ask. Christ challenges us in the great sermon to ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. God wants a relationship with us. And if our relationship begins to get closer with the Lord, we're going to find out that as many as the requests that we have, our praises are going to be more. Because we're going to understand that he works with us every day of our life. Not just in those hardship moments. Not just in those most exciting moments, but in the everyday trudge of life. He's going to be there and we're going to praise him for that. You may get the same paycheck and the same amount every week, but do you say, thank you, Jesus, for my job? I struggle with my boss. Be careful, you that work for me. I struggle with my boss. I struggle with my boss. But I thank you anyway. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for what I have. I thank you, Lord, for being with me. I thank you for being with my children. I thank you for being with my children who don't live with me anymore. I thank you for those who grandparents are still alive. I thank you for my... And the list just goes on and on. And it does because he's worthy of that. And the next thing you know, it's not about the time you spend it, but it's about the heart. But I will tell you, time will keep ticking. The more and more you praise him, you'll be in a 20 to 25 minute praise session. And I want to tell you, that might be your best worship of the week. But then he still calls you to come and worship him together because God loves to see the family. I love to see my family on Sunday afternoons at my house when we have dinner most of the time. I love to see my family. But David says, I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. There's a lot of you out here today and outside. There's a lot going on in this world. Since this COVID thing came, it was almost like a shift. Everything just got a little off center. Except God. But our country got off center. The world got off center. Everything. People got off center. And it may be like this. It just may get worse. But I want to tell you, God's still worthy of praise. Because I want to remind you, those of you that live in fear, God is on the throne. His grace is still here and his mercy, but I want to tell you, we still are not getting what we deserve. But some of the stuff that's coming down, he may just have allowed this stuff to happen because, in general, we've forgotten him. We put him onto the side. Maybe you have it. Praise the Lord that you have it. But in the world, we have. How do I know that? Because I'll be frank. I'll be straight. You don't allow homosexuality in the pulpit. Because it's not because I said it. It's because word says it. You don't accept a lot of things that goes on. You don't accept all this transgender stuff. You don't accept all that. Listen, why is it so much about the flesh? Why is it so much about the body? Because the body is a temple. You desecrate the temple. That's what Satan wants to do. Desecrate the temple, which is the body of the believer. And we're supposed to follow in suit, and we're supposed to follow in that, and all the mandates and all the rules. I'm not telling you what to do, what not to do. I'm just telling you, follow the word of God. That's what I'm going to tell you. And through it all, good and bad, you praise the Lord. Listen, I'm 55, and some of you know what it is to praise the Lord when something great happens and you have one of them babies. You get married and you have a baby, it's a praise the Lord, and you're so excited. It's just to see the life coming. Your family begins, it's praise the Lord. And then you lose a parent. And your heart is broken. And you learn to praise the Lord with a broken heart. So you find out that praising God is not just about the good stuff, but it's also about the sad stuff. But he's still worthy of praise. He's still worthy of praise. And he'll deliver you until he delivered me from my fears. Now, do I struggle with fear sometimes? I tell you, there are certain things I do struggle with. There's certain times, there's certain things I struggle with. And that keeps me, what does that do? And may, I don't know if that's going to be my thorn in my flesh or what, but what it does is it keeps me even staying closer to Christ. I call on the Lord to work through that. But he says, they, in verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant. When we look to the Lord, we just glow. Y'all ever seen a mama that's, a female that's pregnant, they got that pregnancy glow? You can just see it. I don't know how that is, but they can get sick, they have all kinds of things going on, but they're glowing. I love that look on my wife when we were younger. I love that look. I loved it. And it only was that look, that special look, when she was pregnant. I'll let you in on my life a little bit, just for a moment. There were times when I would just walk around outside, and I just want to say, Lord, thank you. Let us have this baby. I don't know what this baby's going to be, whatever it is, but my wife, there's something radiating off my wife. But when we have that in our relationship with Christ, it should even, our faces should radiate even more. Why are we so down and out, and so our smiles have turned upside down? It says, and their faces were not ashamed. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let's not be ashamed of coming into the church. Let's not be ashamed of praising God. Let's not be ashamed of some of y'all are opening up, getting a little bit of arm waving and singing. That's good. Now some of it's going to, I'll say that's always good to lift two hands. Once in a while, I'll do two hands, but you know, sometimes I'll praise in the car. That's not the best thing. So I'm not going to do this, but I might do this. I might do this. But my face should be radiant. It should say, there is a person who loves the Lord. There is a person who loves the Lord. That should shine off our faces. I am not going to finish this, brothers and sisters. I'm just not. But we're going to keep going. Verse 8. So he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed man who trusts in him. Taste and see. Watch. Taste it. Just a little bit. Taste it. Get into a worship service. Taste it. Have an opportunity on Wednesday night to give out a praise. Taste it. Get in there and praise his name for it. And see that the Lord is not good. For he is good. God is good. And we need to thank him. We need to thank him. I'm going to skip some scripture because I don't have time to run through all of them. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. God is watching. If you're a believer, he's on. His eyes are watching you and you and you and you and you and you because you're part of his family. Amen? But I want him to watch me. Do you want him to watch you? If you're walking in his ways, Yes, when we don't, we don't want him watching all of our bad stuff. But I'll tell you, that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit, to convict our hearts. Then we might come to him and get it right with him. God is worthy. I'm telling you, God desires that close relationship. He says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Have you ever cried before the Lord? You ever just have a moment? A lot of times that's with loss. It's okay. Men, it's okay to cry. God knows when our heart is broken. But it's funny when you lose someone, when the Holy Spirit just testifies, which you already know, but he has a reassuring of saying, it's only see you later. It's not like the loss that says, I'll never see you ever again. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just, I'll see you later. It's that promise that we'll be together again without all the difficulties. So I'm thankful that the Lord hears, that his eyes are on us and his ears are open to our cry. And verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Let me tell you, even if you go through a trouble, the Lord is with you. Do you ever want to be moved? Just read some stories about the concentration camps. Just read some of those stories. Those are amazing. God was with those people. A lot of them lost their lives. But God was with those people. Verse 18, and the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as those who have a contrite spirit, which is a spirit of remorse. You feel guilty. You feel that conviction on your heart. God saves us and he's in there and he understands that broken heart. He really does. And we have to learn how to praise him when we go through those moments. Many are the afflictions of the righteous in verse 19, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. I don't know how many valleys you've been through or any life storms you've been through, but you're here, and I'm sure every one of you have been through a few. And as you get older, it doesn't become one or two. It becomes five, and it becomes six, seven, it becomes ten. And next thing you know, I can't even remember all of them. But what I can remember is, thank God, God was with me. Thank God that he was there. Thank God that I had that he gives me an open door, that I can come to him, that I can pray to him, that I can lift his name up through all of those things. You see, we struggle with saying thank you. Not just with God, but even with one another. There was a man named Ed Spencer. This is early 1900s, I believe, somewhere in there. None of you had ever heard of him, I'm sure. But he went to, I think, Northwestern up in the Chicago area, and they had an emergency response team that if anything happened with something on the boats or whatever, that they would go out and help. And there was a passenger steamer with a bunch of passengers on it, and it went down and fell apart out on Lake Michigan. He comes in and he gets on the team and they get out there as quick as they could and he sees a woman out there floating on some wood or some kind, something that was floating. And he jumps into the water and he brings her to the ship and they put her in and then he turns and he sees another person. And he swims over there and he gets that person and he did this. He saved 17 people. He was in the university to work in ministry. And after that, his body, just something happened in the water that just beat his body down pretty hard. Just wasn't able to finish. Couldn't get into the ministry and just kind of lived in seclusion. In California, there was a big meeting and a lot of people were there and in a church, and a preacher gets up and begins to share this story about this story I'm telling you. And someone in the audience stood up and said, "He's here today. Mr. Spencer is here today." This is many years later, and he's white-haired and very old. "Well, bring him up here." So they brought him up there. And he said, "Mr. Spencer," the preacher said, "Mr. Spencer, what is it that you remember most? What is it that you remember most? What is the reflection that you remember most out of 17 people?" He said, "None of them said thank you." Not one. As dumbfounded as that crowd would have been looking, I'm thinking, I wonder sometimes if the Lord says, they can't even say thank you. God is worthy of his praise. God is worthy of your praise. The funny thing is that God accepts our praise even when our thoughts get scattered and we're starting to think about mowing the grass. We start thinking about fixing a car. We start thinking about an argument. We start thinking about getting this kid and that kid. And next thing we know, we stopped our prayer and we go off and we do that thing. How did I know that? Because I'm just like you. We all struggle. And God took maybe a little fragment of it, of the praise, and went on with it. But he's worthy of much praise. He's worthy of more praise than you can give him. He's worthy of more praise than what you can even say and speak. He's worthy of praise that you can't even think of the things that he's done for you, because he didn't let you know all the things he's done for you. But he's done things that you didn't even see. Stopping a car from hitting you head on because he has a will for you to do something for him. Not allowing you to get a disease that looked like it was going to get there and not let that happen. It may happen in the future, but not right now, because he's got a will in your life. God is involved in your life a lot more than you think. And he's worthy of praise. Amen? He is worthy of the praise. So what does it take just to lift a hand up and say, "Thank you, Jesus"? What's it take to say, "Oh, Father, thank you so much for what you've done for me"? Get your head out of the ministry sometimes. Listen to me, you guys that do a lot here. Get your head out of it for a moment and put your head in your relationship with Christ, and your ministry and the work you do won't be maybe so difficult. Amen? We going to give God some praise? Let's go ahead and stand this morning as we come to a close of this part.